KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Near Eastridge.
Sunset.
Eastside, San Francisco.
Coming up, a longtime staple of the Bay Area's radio dial is gone. We'll hear what you had to say about it.
We want local. Local music, local DJs, local talk, local news and events.
Then in our series, It Takes a School, we'll meet a woman who's worked in a variety of roles throughout the SFUSD.
It's not all about the textbook. They will not teach you everything.
And musician Tammy L. Hall talks about the challenges and privilege of making her family proud.
I am the culmination of their dreams. I used to be afraid of saying that, and I'm not anymore.
Say it loud. Cross Currents is coming up. One of the radio stations that set the sound for the Bay Area will soon fade away. KFOG, the station that used the motto, Music Matters, is switching to sports. On September 6th, 104.5 FM will carry KNBR, their motto, the sports leader. That change means a lot to many listeners around the Bay Area, and it prompted us to ask you, what do you want from your local radio stations? We got dozens of responses. Here's a sample of what you had to say.
Don't ask me, because I don't want sports radio.
Music. I want DJ-curated collections of music from all of KFOG's archives, and I want the DJs to dig deeply into those artists.
Honestly, I think this is bullshit, and that stations that do this should lose their license. This doesn't serve the public well at all.
I'd like quality, depth, and variety. Fat chance we'll ever see any of that again.
If I don't hear another live audience on a weekly public radio program, it'll still be too soon. Do you remember how funny Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me was when it was just funny people in a radio studio trying to crack each other up? I miss that like I miss the love of my parents.
We want local. Local music, local DJs, local talk, local news and events.
Those were voices of people here at KALW reading comments from our Facebook page about what you want from your local radio stations now that KFOG is changing formats from rock to sports on September 6th. Our next piece could hardly be more local. It takes place just outside KALW studios, and it's part of our limited series, It Takes a School. Jean Osbay Bell is a counselor at Philip and Sala Burton High School, where KALW is based, and her life experience prepared her for a career in education. Ms. Bell spent 25 years as a flight attendant while also building a career in the San Francisco Unified School District. She's worn plenty of hats over the years, including stints as assistant principal, dean, and paraprofessional. But it's the things that can't be taught in a textbook that have made her so beloved by the students at Burton. KALW's Beau Walsh brings us the story of a day in the life of Counselor Bell.
So don't worry, she'll be okay. You've got a good child. She's going to be very successful. You've done very well with her, so just calm down.
My son goes to school here since freshman. So she really gives them extra support, not just the basic grades and all that stuff. You know, it goes beyond do better on your grade stuff, but you know, the other side of being a high school student.
Yeah, well, it's good that you are keeping on top, but then you've got us here too, so we're trying to stay on top as well. So calm down and don't get any gray hairs, okay?
You know, there's a lot of people here that's involved, but she goes beyond just the do it by the book thing. You know, she really gets involved, and she's the only one I could reach out to.
Oh, you're very welcome. So call me anytime, but calm down, okay? She's going to be just fine. Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Dad.
It's not all about the textbook. You can read forever, and it will not teach you everything. It's about knowing how to communicate with people, and it's about feeling for people, and it's about doing things and saying things to people that you would want said to you. So I don't go by the textbook. My name is Jean Osbay Bell, and I am a counselor at Burton High School.
Guys. Hi, sweetie. How's it going? You guys doing well in your finals?
Yes.
Yay, way to go.
I started working when I was 12 years old. I would babysit. I always thought I would be the little old lady who lived in a shoe. It did not happen. But it did happen because I ended up working at a school.
Kids, guys, go to class.
I've been all over the place. I absolutely love the population on the southeast side of the city. And this is me. This is where I need to be.
Excuse me, everyone. Ms. Bell is here to make an announcement. Please,
Thank you, Ms. Navarro. For you guys who have not come down to look at your classes for next year, please come down and take a look, so that you can let me know if there's something on your schedule that you don't like or you don't want to take. Hi, sweetie. Anybody here to see me? Come on. How are you?
Good.
Pull your chair over. You don't have to stand up. I always tell them, pull your chair over. You don't have to stand up. This is our office. This is the 11th grade office.
I was a dean for a long time, and I've always been an administrator, so I only became a counselor 4 or 5 years ago.
So we were looking at what, sweetie?
My request.
Okay, let's look and see what we can find.
You spend a lot of time putting out fires and trying to make sure that the kids have the correct classes and that they can graduate on time.
Where's psychology? I don't see any psychology.
I know. I don't want physics.
I don't see where you have... Well, you've got to take physics or physiology.
Yeah, I want to take physiology instead.
Okay, we got that. Okay.
I can just come to her, talk to her about anything, my classes, my teachers, anything, like mistakes going on.
Yeah, you know I can't see.
Oh, you can zoom in.
My eyes are old. So what do you have here?
She's beginning to help me with my college process, and she's influencing me to just go like out of my comfort zone and try to go to, she wants me to go to Stanford and like high colleges.
They say, I can't afford it. How do you know? You may get a full scholarship. You never know until you apply. So I said, you've got good grades. Apply to Stanford. Apply to Columbia. Because all they can do is tell them no.
But you cannot get a D on your transcript. It has to be a C or better. Because you're on track to go to a 4-year university if that's what you want to do. What college are you planning to go to?
She calls me in and makes sure I'm doing right and on the right track. So it's like, I really appreciate her.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, what's happening?
Coffee.
You know I'm not the coffee man, so why would you even ask me? I'm not going to let her have it sometimes.
I was working, I lived in Pasadena. I had a job at Caltech, one of the top schools. But I would come to San Francisco every weekend, and I was young, and it was so nice in 1973, and everybody liked to party. People were having fun. I was kind of a party animal, so I was having a great time. So I decided to pack up my things, quit my job at Caltech, pack up my things, move to San Francisco. My great-grandparents were here, and I needed a job, so I got a job at United Airlines in HR, and everybody said, oh, you should be a flight attendant. You would make a great flight attendant. And then I flew for United for 25 years.
Hey, Belle.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, guys. How are you?
So somebody didn't show up for the 49er flight, and I got the trip. And the rest is history. They requested me on all their flights. So I started flying the 49er charters. It was during the heyday. That was when Joe Montana and Jerry Rice, and we used to call Jerry Rice Fifi. It was during that time, the glory years of the 49ers. So we had a great time. I said, je m'appelle Jean-Louis Bell, Harley Bronson.
You said something, I am, I think.
I said, my name is Jean Osbe Bell. Do you speak French? I was trying to find something to do once I got older, and I was unable to, you know, walk up and down that airplane aisle. So I started working, that's when I started working as a parrot, just to find out if it was something that I wanted to do. So I was trying to find a profession that I could do as I got older.
What are you doing for the summer?
I'm not sure yet.
Hi, sweetie.
Can I just turn this in?
Yeah, sweetie. Thank you so much. Keep up the good work, okay? You're doing great.
I taught severely emotionally disturbed kids at Galileo. And flew for United Airlines. And I was also doing a second master's at the time, too. So I would work, I would fly weekends, and my suitcases most times would be full of books, not clothing to go out and hang out once we got to a city. But it was good. I had a good time, and I've always worked hard. And no, I'm not Jamaican, but people always said, are you Jamaican? Because you're working so many jobs.
Well, we're just working hard over here.
You see how they're working here?
I'm not saying that I was the best administrator, but I did try to do the best.
I've been like trying my best, but like, I just feel like I'm not like ready for that class.
But what you should do, Gabe, is you know we have tutoring. I'm no longer an administrator, so I try to stay in my lane. AP or principal, those are not positions for me. My favorite jobs, believe it or not, have been dean, student support services, which was an administrative position, and counseling. I like counseling as well, you know, more student-centered. Or, you know, trying to deal with the students who have issues.
Trick or treat. Hi, I need transfer grades for this child.
He's in jail.
Yes. So I need
to. I like working with that population. It's not always easy, you know, and there are some kids who may be disrespectful. They don't know me, but I'm pretty old school, so I let them know. I've been cursed out, but I still enjoy it.
Sweetie, you need to go to class, okay? I see you running around all the time.
I don't expect them all to like me, but I care about them.
Was here. No, I was gonna give her a hug. Spread the love.
You know, I live on this side of town now, and I work over here, and I run into my former kids all the time. I can be at the gas station, and I'll hear somebody say, "Hey, Miss Bell," and I'll say, "Oh, hi, sweetie. You remember me?" "Yeah, of course I do," and I do. I just don't remember the name. "You forgot my name, Miss Bell." And I said, "Well, you know, Miss Bell is getting older now." There was a time when I knew everybody's name. I can't do that any longer. But I do. He was my kid in the ninth grade. Now look at him.
She saw me at Thurgood. We had it at the Thurgood was crazy.
Wait to the last minute. How's your mother doing?
I have a friend who retired. She's a teacher, and she says, "Jeannie Bell, how long are you going to work? Go out with dignity. Go out with your head held high. Don't go out in a wheelchair." But I'm still here, and I'm enjoying life. I really am. So I don't know what I'm doing yet. I don't know what I want to do when I grow up.
Okay. All right, sweetie.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Here. Anybody else out here?
That's Jean Osbay Bell, a counselor at Philip and Sala Burton High School in San Francisco. That story was part of our limited series called It Takes a School, honoring some of the unsung heroes making a difference in our kids' lives. It's reported and produced by KALW's Beau Walsh. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Tammy L. Hall's feet could barely touch the floor when she sat on a piano bench at 4 years old. But when she tapped those keys, her family knew she was born to be a musician. She even started earning paid gigs in elementary school. Tammy's talent earned her accolades in her hometown of Dallas, Texas, but she left the South for Oakland's Mills College in the late 70s. Now, audiences in the Bay Area and abroad move and groove to her sounds when she's on stage. Tammy L. Hall sat down with KALW's Janae Darden. They talked about the high and low notes of her musical career.
Both sets of grandparents raised me. My mother died a year and a month after I was born from leukemia. Mm-hmm. And so her mother was my primary mom. Mm-hmm. Her husband, my grandfather, played the piano. My mother also wanted to be a concert pianist.
So I imagine music is in your DNA.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is.
Was there a lot of music in the house?
Yeah. My Aunt Deborah would practice her classical lessons. I'd sit and listen to her. But any music that I heard, music on the radio, music on TV, music at church, music that my cousins played at their house, that's how I learned a lot of blues and a lot of music that I wasn't supposed to be listening to. If I wanted to hear it again, I had to pick it out for myself. So I am blessed with that capability.
Again, art is in your family. Now, your mm-hmm. grandfather, he was one of the first black projectionists in
yes.
the country?
This is on my father's side, one of the first black projectionists in Texas, might have been the country. So he was a math professor and a projectionist, and he had a collection of black and white black movie shorts. So I saw Dorothy Donegan play the piano when she was, I think she was maybe 11 or 12, years old and making googly eyes mm-hmm. and being, you know, mugging for the camera because they just couldn't accept that someone this gifted would be black and a woman, you know, and a young woman.
Right.
She blew my mind with her piano playing. People would come to the house. We had a huge den, and we also had a backyard so we could show movies outside, but mainly we would show them in the den or on the patio. And we would have homemade ice cream. It was a wonderful time.
They invested in you. They believed in you.
They invested in lessons for me starting in second grade. Granted, I was already playing in church and actually making a stipend playing for two churches.
At
playing
second
for
grade?
My church choir. Oh, yeah. I was playing for my choir at age 7.
So you had a gig in second grade.
I had a gig in second grade. So I am the culmination of their dreams, actually. I used to be afraid of saying that, and I'm not anymore because mm-hmm. it's the truth.
Why were you afraid to say that?
I didn't want the responsibility of that, or I didn't want to risk sounding egotistical, but to know, to discover that these dreams, number one, they're valid, and that you get to carry them, it's an honor to say, I'm the culmination of my ancestors' dreams. I am that.
So you come from this family who's very supportive of you, investing in you. Art is running through your blood. Mm-hmm. And then you get a scholarship to come to Mills College in
yes.
Oakland. That's a big jump from Dallas, Texas to Oakland, California.
It was a huge jump, and I was really ready to leave home. I made the good grades. I didn't get on my grandmother's nerves as much as she thought I might. Mm-hmm. And it was really, it was time for me to go. Mm-hmm. It was time for me to go. Even though my grandmother really didn't want me to go, she did say when I told her my mind was made up, and she said, okay, don't come back. And I used to think that meant, don't come back because I'm mad at you because you're leaving, so I'm dismissing you. Mm-hmm. But that meant don't come back failing. Don't come back a failure. I had to leave. Mm-hmm. There were some other events happening in my life. I'm sorry that it happened that way because I would like to complete my degree. It may not be in Mills, but Mills, if you're listening, I'm still trying to come back through the gates. In the meantime, I was really on my own at that point. So not even the community feeling of being part of a college.
When you left home and your mm-hmm. you know, your grandmother didn't want you to fail. So what was mm-hmm. that like for you to have to drop out of school?
I was really ashamed mm-hmm. and I couldn't tell her that, you know, I was dreading having to go home. Mm-hmm. For a summer and not being able to come back. So I went home and I came back not telling her that I wasn't coming back to school.
Mm. How did you feel performing overseas?
I felt like I was the queen of the world because I was treated with such respect. I was treated with such respect as an artist, as someone creative, that it let me know that this is a good thing to be, and yes, I'm good enough to be doing it. So in 3 months, I had a solo gig, and we put a quintet together. In 3 months, I was speaking almost fluent French, because I'd studied Latin for 3 years in high school. And I love languages, and I love French language. And so it was a real walk in the park. Actually, it was not nearly as difficult as I thought it might be to have an entree in to this culture. And I wasn't exoticized. Music, it has so many voices, but it comes from one source. Mm-hmm. We have to keep categorizing and compartmentalizing and labeling it for our perceived comprehension, but it really isn't that. It's just one big, continuous, eternal thing happening all the time, and some of us have capability to tap in. When you're not doing something right for you, it does physically manifest in your body. It really does. And it had. I had been in the hospital like four or five times, trying to, you know, keep up between the two, trying to serve two masters, and you really can't. And I just finally said, I don't care. I don't care if I make enough money. I'm a musician, and this is what I have to do. This is my honest life. You know, I'm tired of surviving and trying to fit into someone's vision of what is legitimate work. My work is legitimate. I'm an artist. That's legitimate. That's legitimate enough.
So just hearing your story and your experience and your ups and your downs mm-hmm. and how you got to where you are today, I'm sure there's people listening, aspiring artists, and it's tough right now, too, especially right now with, you know, the cost of housing. Mm-hmm. But if it's in you, that passion, that art, what advice do you have for aspiring artists?
Honor that passion. And, of course, you're going to do what you have to do to have this, you know, to have a reasonable physical existence. I get it, of course. Stay true to you. Honor your art, because that's what you came here with, and that's what's going to get you through your life. If that's your passion, go for it at all costs. Go for that.
That's Tammy L. Hall speaking with KALW's Janae Darden. You can catch her this weekend when she'll perform with singer Veronica Klaus at Martuni's Piano Bar in San Francisco. Find that information at kalw.org. And while you're there, make sure you're subscribed to the Cross Currents podcast. And now for some local music. This is Sweet Lou and the Sweet and Lows from San Francisco. They're playing at the Rickshaw Stop tomorrow night.
I am what I am, what I say, what I am, and that's not professional. I know that you wish it I was a little more dependable.
Today's Cross Currents team includes Taylor Caldwell, Lisa Morehouse, Marissa Ortega-Welch, True Gwynn, and Alice Wolfley. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tariq Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Shireen Adil. Our deputy news director is Angela Johnston. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.
My sweet baby girl.